Topic 108, Man as Creator and Builder. 1. Man in the three worlds, consciously or unconsciously, recapitulates the logoic process and becomes a creator, working in substance through the factor of his positive energy. He wills, he thinks, he speaks, and thought forms eventuate. Atomic substance is attracted to the enunciator. The tiny lives which compose that substance are forced through the energy of the thinker into forms which are themselves active, vitalized, and powerful. What a man builds is either a beneficent or a maleficent creation, according to the underlying desire, motive, or purpose. It is useless for man to study the groups of lesser builders, their functions and their names, unless he realizes that with many of them he has an intimate connection, being himself one of the great builders and a creator within the planetary scheme. Men should remember that through the power of their thoughts and their spoken words, they definitely produce effects upon other human beings functioning on the three planes of human evolution and upon the entire animal kingdom. The separative and maleficent thoughts of man are largely responsible for the savage nature of wild beasts and the destructive quality of some of nature's processes, including certain phenomena such as plague and famine. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, pages 888 through 889. 2. In connection with those human beings who create nothing, but who are only swept into activity under the urge of circumstance, and they are the bulk of the human race, it should be pointed out that they are part of the creative activity of some greater and more advanced entity. As self-conscious evolution proceeds, more and more of the human family will become creators and intelligent workers in connection with Deva substance. In the initial stages, therefore, of their dissociation from a passive attitude, there will be found a revolt against law and order, a refusal to be governed, and an ability evidenced to follow out an individual concept at the expense of the group, great or small. This apparent defect, evolution itself and experience will remedy, and as the consciousness becomes alive to higher vibrations, the man will become aware of the purpose and plan of the intelligence of his group. He will awaken to the beauty of that plan and will begin to submerge his own interests in the greater and to cooperate intelligently. The creative power, which had before been of a separative nature, will be offered as a willing sacrifice to the greater energy, and his small plans and ideas will be merged in the greater ones. He will no longer, however, be a passive unit, swept hither and thither by the energy of his group, but will become a positive, active, potent force, self-immolated through intelligent recognition of the greater plan. He will become alive to the fact that there are living forces in nature. As the greater energy thrills through him, his own latent powers are awakened. He sees and knows the Deva forces and can consequently work with them intelligently. Some he will control and manipulate, with others he will cooperate, and others still he will obey. It is in the realization of these facts about Deva substance, the power of sound, the law of vibration, and the ability to produce forms in conformity with law, that the true magician can be seen. Herein, too, lies one of the distinctions to be found between magicians of the good law and those of the left-hand path. A white magician can control and manipulate Deva substance, and he proceeds to do it through an intelligent cooperation with the greater builders. Owing to the purity and holiness of his life, and the height of his own vibration, he can contact them in some one or other of their grades. The magician of the shadows controls and manipulates Deva substance on the astral and physical plane and on the lower levels of the mental plane through the force of his own vibration and knowledge, but not through cooperation with the directing builders. He cannot contact them, as his character is impure through selfishness, and his vibration is too low. His power, therefore, is limited and destructive, yet immense with certain restrictions. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, pages 929 through 930. 3. The man who is consciously learning to build has, first of all, to hold the idea sufficiently long for it to be faithfully registered in the physical brain. Frequently, the ego will get through to the brain some aspect, some portion of the plan, and yet will have to repeat the process continuously over quite a long period before the physical response is such that the solar angel can rest assured that it is intelligently registered and recorded. It is perhaps necessary to say that the entire process is greatly facilitated if the shadow, or the man, pursues regular meditation, cultivates the habit of a daily and hourly recollection of the higher self, and before retiring at night endeavors to hold the thought of bringing through at the time of awakening as much as possible of any egoic impress. When the reaction between the two factors, the ego and the receptive physical brain, is established, the interplay is reciprocal, and the two are keyed or tuned to each other, the second stage is entered upon. The idea is conceived. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 970. 4. As long as the attention of the creator of any thought form, great or small, is turned towards it, that magnetic link persists. The thought form is vitalized and its work carried on. When the work has been accomplished and the thought form has served its purpose, every creator, consciously or unconsciously, turns his attention elsewhere, and his thought form disintegrates. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 974. 5. Much of the ineffectiveness of people is due to the fact that their interests are not centralized, but very diffuse, and no one thing engrosses their attention. They scatter their energy and are attempting to satisfy every wandering desire and to dabble in everything that comes their way. Therefore, no thought, they think, ever assumes a proper form or is ever duly energized. They are consequently surrounded by a dense cloud of half-formed, disintegrating thought forms and clouds of partially energized matter in process of dissolution. This produces occultly a condition similar to the decay of a physical form and is equally unpleasant and unwholesome. It accounts for much of the diseased condition of the human family at this time. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 975. 6. Another reason for creative ineffectiveness is owing to the currents that emanate from the majority of people being of such a low order that the thought forms never reach the point of independent action. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 976. See also the topic Thought Forms.